From the Middle East to the White House, we've got you covered.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Hope you had a great weekend. It's Monday, and here we go. I've got a question for you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you voted for Donald Trump, are you pleased with our bombing of Syria, joint mission with Britain and with France? Are you pleased with our bombing of Syria, or are you like many of the conservative or ultra-conservative or conspiratorial conservative radio hosts and others who are very upset with the president, almost apoplectic, you could say, with the president for what he's done? What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH. Are you saying, well, good, at last somebody did something? President Obama had his red line and said to Syria, you cross this line and you're going to pay for it. And of course, they crossed the line over and over again and they didn't pay for it. That would be one argument. And now we're pushing back against Russia and Iran, which together with Syria form a real axis of evil, you could say. Or the other view would say, when are we going to learn our lesson? It's not our battle. It's not our fight. We want to get out of these things. And why have an all-out confrontation with Russia? So just curious to know your view. We've got a lot to cover today, but we're going to start there. Again, 866-348-7884. If you didn't vote for Trump, I'm still curious to know whether you are pleased or displeased with his actions. Now, there's a lot to talk about. Senator Cory Booker and his decision not to vote for the confirmation of Secretary of State candidate Mike Pompeo, specifically because of Mike Pompeo's Christian beliefs. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about the ongoing battle now between President Trump and former FBI Director James Comey in light of his big interview and release of his book. But I don't want to turn The Line of Fire into a gossip column, a radio gossip column, internet gossip column. That's not the goal of the broadcast. So with all this, we'll do our best to be constructive. All right. There is an article on news.com.au. So this was posted in Australia. Radio hosts on air meltdown. Is no one pure in this world? F Trump. Donald Trump has faced backlash from an unlikely source following the strikes on Syria, with one host breaking down on the air. There are some really extreme comments there. Alex Jones of InfoWars fame or infamy, depending on whether you like InfoWars or not. I'm sure there's some good stuff reported that's way too conspiratorial for me. And I have issues with Alex Jones representing himself as a Christian and behaving as he did. But I mean, in the profanity-laced tirade, he's literally or virtually in tears over President Trump's actions. Michael Savage, while eating dinner, takes time out from that to rail on the president and what he has done. Others, Tucker Carlson, others, Fox News, spoke of their opposition to what has happened. So you say, well, why are they so upset? What are the issues? Well, some may have more libertarian viewpoints, saying, look, we don't get involved in these other wars when it's a direct attack on us, and we need to get involved. We get involved, but otherwise we are not the world's policemen. Others would say, look, the whole thing we're trying to do with President Trump is our security and borders, put the wall up and then get out of these other places, and now you're pulling us back in. I don't think your average conservative is upset for President Trump taking on Vladimir Putin. Of course, Russia's denying that Syria used chemical weapons. And in case you haven't followed that, I should have prefaced with that. This is in response to Syria allegedly using chemical weapons on its own civilians. Now, there's a larger question I have, and I want to get to your calls in a moment, all right, and get your feedback, all right? But there's a larger question here, which is one that I wonder about, and maybe somebody could help me with this. I don't mean to be silly with my question. It's a genuine question that I have, which is this. Why do we draw a line a certain place and not another place? Meaning, if you are mowing down civilians with guns, if you are mowing down civilians with bombs, why does that get a certain response? But then if you use chemical weapons, it gets another response. In other words, why are certain things acceptable? Or you're fighting each other in war. You're bombing each other. You're shooting each other. You're launching missiles at each other. You're trying to kill each other. So enemy combatants on either side. And that's okay. These monstrous bombs that can do tremendous damage. And we know there's going to be collateral damage. We know in every war there are going to be innocent civilians. There's going to be a little kid playing near where a bomb is dropped, and somehow we didn't see that or decided we had to take out a target. That's always going to happen, all right? You have these regrettable civilian casualties, and then enemy combatants, we're taking them out. Here's an enemy combatant, you shoot them. Here's an enemy combatant, you bomb them. But if you use chemical weapons, then there's world outrage over it. I'm not being facetious in my question. I'm just trying to understand why we draw the line at one place. I mean, there's such a horrific loss of human life in all of these conflicts. It just makes me wonder. Now, before I go to your calls, let me just give you a quick update. I asked this question on Twitter just moments before the show started, so we only have our first 80-something votes. If you voted for Trump, are you pleased or upset over our bombing of Syria? 41% said pleased, 30% upset, 29% neutral. I asked the same question on Facebook again immediately before the show started. And here we're on the first 100 votes or so. And you can only give two options on Facebook, so I didn't have a neutral option. 77% say pleased, 23% say upset. So it's just interesting that so far the majority of those responding who say they voted for Trump are pleased or overwhelmingly pleased with his actions, whereas some of these conservative pundits and others, whatever class you'd put them in, who are staunch Trump supporters, have issues, strong issues. Now, one last thing, then we'll go to your calls. I got an article sent to me today by Christian Voice in the UK, and it says this. The UK, US, and France bombed the Barza research site near Damascus in Syria, knowing full well it had no chemical weapons, it has emerged. Christian Voice has uncovered a report from the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons. It gave Barza a comprehensive, all clear, only last month. Allied aircraft also targeted the Jamraya or Jamara Dumar site west of Damascus. The facility was also cleared by OPCW, the Organization for Prevention of Chemical Weapons. So, again, I'm getting this report. I live here in America. I don't have intelligence briefings, a secret that no one else in the world has. But did we bomb a facility thinking it was used for manufacture of chemical weapons and we were wrong? Did we bomb it knowing that it was not connected to chemical weapons and we were just trying to make a statement? Did we make a terrible mistake? Did we willfully do something egregious? Or did the Syrians hide weapons? Another question to put on the table. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let us go to the phones. We'll start in Greensboro, North Carolina. Lou, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very kindly, Dr. Brown. I'm privileged to talk with you. I do think that it would be fair to ask the question, if you did not vote for Donald Trump, along with that question, get a response also.
Yeah, I'm happy to. But the key thing is, the key thing is that, and I just need to make sure you're speaking right into the phone, not through an earpiece. But key thing, Lou, is that you have folks that hate Donald Trump no matter what he does. So I'm not really concerned to know where they'd be standing for it. Just like if there are people that hated Barack Obama no matter what he did, they hated President Obama, and I'm trying to get their response to something. I want to find out from those who supported Donald Trump how you felt about his bombing of Syria. So in any case, sir, your response, how do you feel about our bombing of Syria?
My response is it's okay with me, the action that he has taken.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's going, I really do not know.
Got it. But there's nothing in it itself that troubles you. And I'm not challenging. I just want to make sure I understand. You don't feel like we're potentially getting involved where we should. You feel like it's sending a good message to Syria, like, you cross this line, you're going to pay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got it. Why do you think some others are so upset with him, the people that support him? Why do you think it's such a big deal to them?
Well, some people are going to be polling a Democratic viewpoint regardless of what Donald Trump does. Now, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah.
I'm a Christocrat.
Uh-huh.
I vote for the person. I vote for the person based on what I think the person can do.
Got it. All clear. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in, Lou. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Cindy in Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for everything you do. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you.
I did vote for Donald Trump. I absolutely adore Donald Trump, and I know that you don't always. But in this instance, I was kind of floored because he went from, you know, he was talking about pulling the troops out and Russia pulling their troops out and even having Putin to the White House for a potential meeting. And now all of a sudden he's turned on the dime and criticizing Putin and the Russians. And to me, I just feel like we haven't really learned anything, because when we took out Saddam Hussein and we took out Muammar Gaddafi, it created that vacuum where ISIS was able to get a hold. And I was wondering, too, about that, about, I mean, biblically, I know that when God would tell the children of Israel to wipe out a people, he really meant just go in there and wipe them out. But, you know.
Yeah, and that would be, also a one-time thing for certain purposes to give the land over in light of certain iniquity. But I think, Cindy, the larger question you raise is, all right, what's our strategy? We're trying to get rid of Bashar Assad? Then what? Hey, fair questions. That's why we're asking them.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so my thoughts on the Syria bombing, and the reason that I'm really opening things up for questioning, is because I'm not entirely sure myself how I feel about this. There are certain things, obviously, the moment they happen, I'm pleased or I'm grieved. We all have those reactions. There are other things where it's more debatable. This, to me, is one that's more debatable. Now, I could easily be persuaded either way with really solid argumentation. In other words, I'm not saying that I have a fixed position and I just can't figure out how to evaluate this. Syria is a tremendously complex and difficult issue, and there's so much human suffering involved here, and the Middle East is so volatile. And on the one hand, we should be concerned with Russia, Iran, Syria working together. That's a massive concern for Israel. That's a concern for us. On the flip side, what were we trying to do with the bombing? Are we just saying, don't mess with chemical weapons? Was this a slap in Russia's face? What was the exact purpose of it? What's the long-term strategy? So sometimes I ask leading questions, and I have firm convictions on my end. Other times I ask questions to get your feedback, because I am processing my answer as well. Now, perhaps if life just stopped for a few days and I could step away from all of the ministry activity, all of the writing, radio, TV, whatever else I'm doing, whatever else you're doing. We could just stop life and process everything. We could come to firmer conclusions. But something this big, with so many questions, short-term, long-term, I mean, how many things did we do in the Middle East or Afghanistan that helped produce, say, an Osama bin Laden, or helped produce an Al-Qaeda, or gave room for an ISIS? How much of that is reactionary to things we did, or did we help empower those? How many were the result of lacks in our long-term strategy? The one people group that almost everybody forgets in their planning is Middle Eastern Christians. What happens to them and all this? One of my colleagues, a dear friend, met with the Bush administration, George W. Bush administration, before we took out Saddam Hussein and said, okay, what's your long-term plan to protect the Iraqi Christian population? Because as evil as Saddam Hussein was, he was also a force to stop radical Islam from attacking Christians. He said that when he asked that question, he got basically blank stares, which it had not been evaluated, and we know the results have been absolutely horrific. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let's just see here. A few comments on Facebook. I think we're suffering the result of putting an openly ungodly man in office. Samuel, Donald Trump, you're the best president since Lincoln. So slightly different perspectives there. Sunita, thanks for giving everyone a hearing. I was really disturbed about the hastiness of the U.S. to strike Syria the night before the Saturday investigation of the chemical attack was supposed to begin. It seems more likely the chemical attack was staged based on tweets from Syrian insiders who'd heard the interview of doctors in the Douma hospital saying people suddenly rushed in shouting chemical attack and started dousing everyone with water and using asthma meds while capturing on video, though there was no evidence of any chemical weapons, etc. John, Syria has become hell on earth. It's being ripped apart by five different factions. I feel for the poor. That's it. The politics are beyond armchair politicians. My guess is that it was the Russians who set up a dummy like Trump to react. Trump is not a very bright person when it comes to world politics. Again, just the comments so far coming in response to the show. But again, as I'm looking at the poll, 73% pleased with the bombings. These are those who voted for Trump. 27% upset. And then over on Twitter, 40% pleased, 29% upset, 31% neutral. So those who are upset remain a minority in their response. Doesn't give us an indication of right and wrong. I'm just trying to get your response on this. Let's go to Annie in Winston-Salem was in favor of the bombing. We'll stay in North Carolina. James in Lillington, what's your take?
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I was just kind of mystified. I mean, here we have President Trump say he's going to pull troops out of Syria. Mm-hmm. The government forces, the Assad forces, were just moments away from capturing the town. And they bombed with chemical weapons, which completely reverses everything that they were trying to accomplish. It just didn't make sense that Assad would do it. In my opinion, it's just kind of disbelief.
So do you think that there was a real chemical weapons attack and someone else was responsible for it, or do you think that there was no real chemical attack?
Well, that is a good question. With the pictures and the videos and everything, but according to sources, the UN was just moments away from getting a team in there to try to assess it, and we went ahead and bombed before that team got in there to assess it and tried to determine what happened.
Got it. Yeah, listen, James, I don't have clear answers either. I appreciate you weighing in, sir. This much I know, as a previous commenter mentioned, Syria is a real hellhole. There is tremendous suffering there. And you don't have a lot of good guys in the mix. I mean, you have one radical on one side and another on another side. One evil group on one side, another on the other side. And then You have some innocent civilians, innocent Muslims. So I say innocent Muslims, meaning they're just trying to live their lives. Innocent Christians, just trying to live their lives, and they get totally squeezed in the midst of it. And listen, I am not one of these distrustful kind of people. One-on-one, I'm a very trusting person, all right? And in terms of larger things, I always do my best to give the benefit of the doubt to those I'm differing with. You talk to people close to me, that's really how I operate, all right? At the same time, I don't trust reports from our government or other governments and just assume whatever's said is airtight. Could we engage in something covert in one place to make somebody else look bad? Do we engage in taking one party down or trying to? Does it surprise me if Russia tried to interfere with our elections? Would it surprise me if we were trying to interfere with theirs? Or China was trying to interfere with this one, or we were trying to do something in China? None of it really surprised me. So at face value, I believe the reports, but I always have a question mark. Always have a question mark. So, James, your questions are fair to ask. All right, let's grab one more call. We'll go over to Marilyn. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How are you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thank you.
So about the bombings in Syria, to be honest, I mean, I'd like to say it's wrong, because I feel like there should be more that's been done. When things like this happen, there needs to be an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just have people saying, oh, okay, it's great, and not even looking into it, because you're absolutely right. There are innocent people that could be hurt, Christian and non-Christian alike. And how can we say, oh, well, their lives don't really matter because we're doing a great thing?
Yeah, listen, if obviously, you know, Michael, if someone would respond and say, we are responding to the loss of life. We are telling Syria and assumedly Russia, you went one step too far. You went one step too far. And when you're going to use chemical weapons, that violates every law that any of us have in terms of what's acceptable in the midst of warfare and not. And therefore, we're going to punish you for it. And you're going to stop this brutality and their barbarism. Then the question, of course, the flip question, thank you, Michael, for your comment and thinking again of the human side of things. Excuse me. The question we're left with is, number one, should we be involved in Syria at all? Are we the world's policemen? Question two, well, isn't there a mess now, and didn't Russia reemerge as a major player in the Middle East because of President Obama's inaction and indecision? It's kind of the opposite perspective. And then number three, can we be sure of who did what and to whom we're sending a message? And then number four, do we have a long-term strategy? So listen, friends, most days I want to weigh in with whatever wisdom I have, whatever insight I have from the Word, whatever facts I'm aware of that I can present to you. Today I have questions more than I have answers. But I'd like to take this opportunity to point us in the one direction that really matters and ask for concerted prayer for Syria. Syria is going to be in the news and in the headlines for days, weeks, months ahead. Maybe what we could do is, and as a fruit of this broadcast today, maybe what we could do is just have a little reminder, an internal reminder. The moment we hear Syria in the news, just stop for a second and say, Father, have mercy on Syria. Your kingdom come to Syria. Your will be done in Syria. Just that prayer. God hears the prayers of his people. And while we are not all political pundits, and even political pundits will disagree on what's happening, and Nigel Farage in England is not happy with Theresa May and the bombing, there are going to be differences. But for sure we can pray, God have mercy on Syria. God, your kingdom come to Syria. God, your will be done in Syria. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So who do you trust more? If you had to trust Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, or former FBI Director James Comey, if you had to trust one of them with a secret, who would you trust more? All right, let's try this one, if that was too difficult. If you had to trust one of them to be loyal to you, you were going to commit yourself to one of them and had to trust one of them to be loyal to you, who would you trust more, President Trump or former FBI Director James Comey? If you are reading what they have to say, Trump speaking about the past, Comey speaking about the past, Trump speaking about Comey, Comey speaking about Trump, who do you trust more? Hey, friends, this is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. We are not going to turn today's broadcast into a glorified on-air gossip column. That's not the point of it. Nor do I want to make this into a mudslinging event. But I will say this, and you can weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to call and weigh in, 866-348-7884. But let me just say this in short. My goal here is to talk about what's happening in the world around us, but not the way the world does. There's some Christian broadcasting, and the entire purpose of that broadcasting is to preach and teach Scripture. And if you listen to Christian radio or watch Christian TV, that's the vast bulk of what's out there, teaching and preaching the Word. I have a show on God TV called Word on Fire. It airs on Sundays, and it's just a half hour preaching. I open up the Scriptures and preach and teach the Word. Recently went through all the Sermon on the Mount, went through all of 1 Peter. I mean, just getting into the Word, in-depth teaching, preaching. And there are so many fine ministries doing that, and that's what they've done some for decades, and that's why you listen, that's why you watch. The primary purpose of this radio broadcast, though, is not just preaching and teaching Scripture. It is looking at the world around us from a biblical mentality, preparing you to go out and be world changers by helping deepen you in the Word and your understanding of God, responding to hot-button issues in a biblically-based way. That's why we're on the air, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So there are some reflections that I want to offer in the midst of the fury now, the chaos, whatever you want to call it, surrounding James Comey's book and interview with George Stephanopoulos and Donald Trump's responses and others responding to the responses. There's an article on CNN that says this, a CNN article, and it says former FBI Director James Comey has some tough words for President Donald Trump and a higher loyalty. Comey writes that the president is unethical and untethered to truth and institutional values. His leadership is transactional, ego-driven, and about personal loyalty. He compares Trump to the mob bosses he encountered as a federal prosecutor, the us-versus-them worldview, the lying about all things large and small in service to some code of loyalty that put the organization above morality and above the truth. He warns those who have tuned out that what is happening now is not normal, it is not fake news, it is not okay. The same article says this, Kellyanne Conway, the president's favorite go-to television spokeswoman in times of crisis, said that Comey has, quote, a revisionist view of history and seems like a disgruntled ex-employee. The president, she said, has a different recollection of what happened. Not to be outdone, President Trump left off a tweet rant that Comey is a proven leaker and liar, and that virtually everyone in Washington thought he should be fired for the terrible job he did until he was, in fact, fired. Apparently insisting on preserving some level of presidential decorum, Trump went on to say that he is a weak and untruthful slimeball who was, as time has proven, a terrible director of the FBI. So obviously sarcastically saying, insisting on preserving some level of presidential decorum. Now, Steve Dace, radio, TV colleague, conservative columnist, and political thinker, he is not impressed. And by the way, Steve Dace was not quite an ever-Trumper, but strongly opposing Donald Trump, and has no problem airing his opposition to Donald Trump and his differences with Donald Trump. He has an article in Conservative Review, just how nauseatingly sanctimonious is this guy, speaking of James Comey. And he has some questions for him. If Comey has real evidence of Trump wrongdoing, as the fever-dreaming left claims, why did he wait almost a year after his dismissal to come out and tell us? And why do we have to buy his book to learn them now? What kind of man of integrity makes you pay for the truth after waiting for it so darn long? Another question he raises, why are many on the left celebrating Comey when he's as responsible for Hillary Clinton's loss as anybody other than Hillary herself? Why are many on the right criticizing Comey when he's as responsible for Trump's win as anybody other than Trump himself? Comey admitted to George Stephanopoulos that he knew the controversial Steele dossier used as a primary source to obtain surveillance warrants against the Trump campaign was funded by the Democrats. Yet he also disclosed that he chose not to share that information with President Trump, which Rush Limbaugh has been all over. By his own admission, therefore, wasn't President Trump completely justified in firing Comey, a subordinate who confesses to concealing key information from his boss? More questions Steve has that are worth raising, worth asking. All right, so how do we step back and evaluate all this? He said, she said, and depending on whether you are a critic of the president or a supporter of the president, you might read certain things Comey said. So, yeah, that's it. I knew that's the way this guy was. I'm telling you. And others read it, it's like, come on, man, Comey, you're going to trust Comey? He's contradicted himself. He can't be trusted. He's in this for himself. So it's not our job to sit here as believers and make personal judgments about others from a distance. Now, you may assess information and say, you know, I don't trust what this one's saying. I do trust what that one's saying. To the extent I need to have an opinion, to the extent I need to make a decision, should I vote for this one, this one? I trust this one. I don't trust this one. I trust this analysis. I don't trust that analysis. We do that all the time. But as for judging the motives of someone's heart from a distance, as for judging what's inside someone from a distance, obviously we can't do that. Only God knows what's going on in someone's heart. And look, we can deceive ourselves as easily as we could deceive others. If someone says to me, look, I know your name is not Michael Brown, and I know that's a phony mustache you have on. Okay, well then I know you're speaking falsely. But if you say to me, you don't know everything that motivates you to do what you do, you can't say that there's no pride or ego or, yeah, only God can search every heart and know every motivation. But when we come down to this, he says, she says, and so on, what we have to do is try to boil things down to whatever facts we have in front of us. And then, based on those facts, make decisions. And in most cases here, it's impossible for us to know a lot of the facts because we weren't there when conversations were taking place. But I do think it's worth pointing this out, that James Comey has said a few things that raise eyebrows. One is that he opened up the email investigation again with Hillary Clinton because he assumed she was going to win and therefore it wouldn't hurt her. this is quite mind-boggling, just in terms of integrity, truthfulness. And listen, FBI, CIA, NSA, different groups, I don't know who's given us the whole story. I don't know who's given us, you know, classified information. Who in the world knows? Spy agencies, who's telling the truth, who's not? I don't know. Never been in that world. All I know is I had a dear friend years ago who worked for the NSA, and his wife worked for the NSA, and they were not allowed to tell each other everything that they did. And I once asked him, he was a good friend, godly man. I asked him, he worked in a certain area and with foreign languages and things like that, Middle Eastern languages. And I asked him, so how's your Arabic? He said, no comment. We had gone to school together. We had studied Semitic languages together. But I asked, no comment. That's one reason the NSA hired a guy like that. He was trustworthy. He was not a secret teller. They knew him. So I don't know what's being reported any more than you know what's being reported. But when James Comey, so I'm not saying this to defend President Trump, all right? But when James Comey says that he opened up the investigation, and in my view, Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted for what she had done, all right? So for him to say everything he said when he first evaluated things and said no charges being brought, I was shocked by that. I was shocked by that. It's like a judge laying out all the reasons why you're guilty and then saying, but we're going to pardon you, or we're going to acquit you, rather. What? We're going to find you not guilty. What? So that made no sense to me back then. But then when he says he launched this investigation thinking that she was going to win, okay, so what was the motivation then? Were you saying I can safely do it because it's not going to affect things? Were you saying I'm going to do it with the hope that she'll like me for doing it? But either way, that certainly contributed to her defeat. Was it the sole reason for her defeat? Not the sole reason. Did it contribute to her defeat? I believe it did. Many believe it did. So that, to me, could be God's sovereign hand. God's sovereign hand at work. Now, here's the other thing. Since James Comey knew that there was a politically based document, the infamous dossier, and that according to Comey, Trump was all upset about it and wanted it to be disproven, and Comey never told him that the thing was looked at as a political piece from the start, withheld that information or failed to tell him, that's a serious breach. That is a serious breach, and as Steve Day said, makes sense then for President Trump to say, I'm going to fire you. Now, were there other reasons? Was it a wise move overall? Who knows? But this much I want to say in all this. I think long-term, President Trump, you know, is going to stay aggressive against James Comey. I think ultimately the Comey attack will help Trump more than hurt him, because Comey is losing. I'm sure he's going to sell a lot of books, make a lot of money, and get a lot of fans. But he's also losing support in other circles. People surprised with the tone of the book, and Loretta Lynch coming out with a statement that would push back against Comey. I think long-term, his legacy, how we look at him, will not be enhanced. And long-term, Trump will use this to his advantage. Just my take. But who in the world knows the truth of all this? What a mess. May God intervene for his purpose. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What are we to make of Senator Cory Booker and his questioning of Secretary of State candidate Mike Pompeo and his decision not to vote for his confirmation? I wrote about this hours after the questioning, Cory Booker's bizarre questioning of Mike Pompeo. I wrote an article posted on the stream and elsewhere with the title Some questions for Senator Cory Booker about sexual perversion. Now, if you're not aware of what happened, Mike Pompeo, former director of the CIA and now President Trump's candidate for Secretary of State, and seems to have a lot of support for that position, he has clearly spoken of his Christian convictions about marriage in the past, marriage being the union of one man and one woman. Wow. Big news, right? And he had previously referenced homosexual acts, sex between two men, as perverse. Big revelation there. That's historic Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and the view of the majority of nations around the world, at least by their law and their custom. So Cory Booker not only pressed him on his views about marriage, but asked him pointedly, what about gay sex? Do you consider that perverse? I want a yes or no answer. What about gay sex? Do you consider that perverse? I want a yes or no. What about gay sex? I mean, it was bizarre. And it raised lots of questions, namely, what in the world does this have to do with being Secretary of State? What in the world does this have to do with serving nations of the world? And in fact, what Cory Booker said was, you know, you're supposed to be representing American values to the world, as if celebrating gay sex is now the American value. And he even referenced, very bizarrely, he referenced in the Muslim world and Muslim nations, well, the Muslim world and Muslim nations agree with this. So you think that's the right person to have as Secretary of State? Well, he then formally came out on his Facebook page. And on Facebook, he announced that he would not be voting for the confirmation of Mike Pompeo. And he explained this. He said, listen, on his Facebook page, he said, if you're going to lead the people, you have to love the people. This is his line. If you're going to lead the people, you have to love the people. And he claimed that Mike Pompeo, in rejecting same-sex cult marriage as being a valid marriage, or in saying that two men having sexual relationships is perverse, that he is somehow not loving the people, therefore can't lead the people. All right, time out. Time out here. Number one, which people is he not loving? In saying that he rejects a certain thing, which people is he not loving? He can say, I care about you, I love you, I'm going to treat you as respect. He said there were same-sex couples in the CIA, and he treated them with the same respect as other couples. It's not going to affect his professional stance, not going to affect the choices he makes in that regard. All right? If I say we have two neighbors, two men, and they're in a homosexual relationship, and I believe what they're doing is perverse and wrong in God's sight, that's not going to stop me from being a good neighbor to them. It's not going to stop me from loving them. It's not going to stop me from reaching out to them. It's not going to stop me from being a friend and being there to help. And if they need something done like any other neighbor, try to do it for them. At the same time, I can reject what they're doing. Look, I can believe if I had Hindu neighbors and they were bowing down to some shrine, or I had some, you know, super traditional Catholic and they were bowing down to some shrine of Mary or some saint, I'd say that's wrong. That's idolatry. That's wrong in God's sight. I'm going to still love them. So who is Mike Pompeo not loving? That's my first question. Second question is this. Well, Senator Booker, you're doing the exact same thing. You're in a, if you are saying you can't lead the people if you don't love the people, and you are rejecting the views of tens of millions of Christians and Jews and Muslims here in America, all right, combined, and around the world, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of billions of people. You are rejecting the views of billions of people. And about 85% of the nations of the world right now do not recognize same-sex, quote, marriage as marriage. And again, historic Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all reject homosexual practice as detestable in God's sight. So, Senator Booker, you, sir, are rejecting the views of several billion people worldwide. You are alienating conservative religious people around America and around the world. So you then have no right to be a senator based on that. You have no right to be leading the people because you're not loving the people. You say, well, most of my constituents agree with me. Well, most of Mike Pompeo's followers agree with him. All right? That's not the point. The point is you're making a claim that unless you throw out the Bible, and you're going to quote other passages that, but you can't quote anything in the Bible that says a single positive word about homosexual practice because it's not there. You'll find God's love for all people. You'll find Jesus dying for all people. You'll find our call to love our neighbors ourselves. But you will not find an approval of homosexual practice anywhere. In fact, you'll find harsh, strong condemnation of homosexual practice in relationships every time it's mentioned in Scripture. So, sir, you are shooting yourself in the foot. You can't lead the people unless you love the people. Well, you are alienating tens of millions of Americans plus several billion people worldwide. And as many news outlets have said, I'm looking at a headline on Breitbart.com, Senator Booker, you are violating the Constitution. You are putting a religious test on the candidate. You are saying if you hold to biblically based morality in terms of relationships, all right, and you are holding to biblically based morality in terms of sexual acts, then you cannot be the Secretary of State. Or by that view, you couldn't serve as a justice, you couldn't serve the nation in other capacities. Senator Booker, not only is this a gross misuse of Scripture, claiming to be on God's side and the side of love, not only is it a gross misuse of Scripture, not only is it something that is a slap in the face to billions of people worldwide and multiplied tens of millions of fine American citizens, but it also flies in the face of the Constitution, because you are putting a religious test by saying that the Secretary of State must affirm homosexual acts and throw out the Bible in order to be fit to serve. You are putting a religious test on someone. In fact, you are saying point blank, if you hold to these fundamental convictions, as Ben Shapiro and numerous other commentators have pointed out, it's so basic. If you simply hold to these convictions, no big headline that we think homosexual acts are perverse and wrong in God's sight, and we love the people, and God loves the people, and Jesus' love for the people, but we believe the acts are detestable in God's sight, that's no big headline. Okay, headline, the sun rose today. Headline, the sun went down today. That's not a headline. Headline, it was cold in the winter. Headline, it was hot in the summer. Headline, rock music concert is loud. NASCAR event is loud. There's no headlines. Everybody knows those things. Headline, most basketball players are tall. No headline here. No big deal. So what this does is exposes the radical left agenda. What it does is exposes what I've said for years, that those who came out of the closet and their allies want to put us in the closet. It's not a matter of freedoms. It's not a matter of freedom of religion. This is not a matter of recognizing that our nation was based on Judeo-Christian principles and presupposed that we would be a people of faith. Even the non-religious, the least religious among us, presumed, I'm talking about the founding fathers, presumed that we would be a moral and religious people. And some of them said our Constitution is only made for moral religious people. In other words, you give a certain amount of liberty to people based on certain presuppositions, based on certain morality and worldview and responsibilities. If not, you can't give them those responsibilities. So this is just flying in the face of everything that America has been and everything that America is. And right now, Senator Brooker may do that and be applauded by some, and others think, oh man, one day he's going to be a presidential candidate. But ultimately, what he's doing is disqualifying himself from being taken seriously, and whatever happens in his political career, and identifying with a radical movement that's only getting more and more radical, and by God's grace, will disqualify itself. Hey, friends, I just want to thank those of you who have been commenting to us, sending notes on social media, posting reviews on Amazon about my new book, Playing with Holy Fire, that came out, 13 days ago. Thank you for the great responses. You know what I'm loving? I'm hearing people read the book, and the moment they finished, they picked it up and started to reread it. I'm hearing from folks who got the book and within 2 hours had read it cover to cover and were posting a review. I'm hearing from folks who are not charismatic and say, boy, this was so helpful to me. I'm hearing from folks who were charismatic but got burned, and now this book is like a lifeline for them. So thank you for the great responses. That's why I wrote the book. I just saw from a former Muslim touched by the things of the Spirit and saying thank you for having the courage to address things that others aren't addressing. So if you have the book, encourage a friend. Tell them to check out Playing with Holy Fire. If you've read it, post a review on Amazon, and then tell folks on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, wherever you're posting, say, hey, I just posted this review of Playing with Holy Fire. Post a picture of it and post it. Let others know I wrote the book to get a message out. So if you haven't gotten the book yet, by all means, order it. If you've read it, share the good news with others. I believe God's about to do great things in our midst. We've got to set our house in order, especially those of us who call ourselves charismatic, Pentecostal.